Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's game day, Brew Crew fans, and we'll get you ready before first pitch. Coming up, today's starting lineups. We'll debate the hot topics in Milwaukee. Plus, you'll hear from the skipper. Now, live from the Hyundai of West Dallas Studios, this is the Pella Windows and Doors Baseball on Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief, on Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yes, it is, and it's live from the Hyundai West Dallas on Deck Studios here on Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan, the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show, on The Fan. Mayor Mitch Ross here getting you set for Game 3 of 3 as the Brewers go for the win in this rubber match on Sunday Night Baseball. Brewers and Cubs, Game 3 from Wrigley Field tonight. Brewers on Sunday Night Baseball for the first time since September of 2013. 6 years ago was the last time, and I think off the top of my head, the time before that would have been 2009-ish. So, man, the third Sunday Night Baseball game, I think, of my life for your Milwaukee Brewers as they take on the Cubs down at Wrigley Field, coming up first pitch at 6 o'clock. Yolis Chacin for the crew against John Lester, who's having a huge year for the Cubs. Those two will toe the slab for their respective squads as the Brewers, again, go for the series sweep after falling yesterday. On tonight's show, we hear from Brewers manager Craig Counsell after the 2-1 loss. Another marathon 15-inning game yesterday. Also, we'll be joined by Bart Winkler of Chuck and Winkler, fresh off his appearance on 670 The Score down in Chicago, defending your Milwaukee Brewers down there. And our old buddy Rami Makhlouf, Cubs fan, but also the host of Mackie and Judd with Rami on Score North in the Twin Cities. He'll join us for both those guys will join us for the McCormick Law Office Roundtable coming up here in the next segment on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. Later on in the show, we'll also go inside the clubhouse, hear from our Milwaukee baseball insider Adam McKelvey. We join Tim and Billy on the Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show that you can hear after each and every game here on The Fan after Friday's win. But first, let's get you caught up on what happened yesterday. Brewers game, again, starts at 1:20, but they do go 15 innings. Brewers fall 2-1, and the Cubs looking to get on the board early. In the bottom of the first, Jason Hayward hits a triple, but he would end up getting thrown out by Orlando Arcia as he flashes the leather again. He throws out Jason Hayward at home.
A bouncing ball. And they're going to go to the plate, and home is Hayward!
What a play by Grandal. Goodness gracious. I don't know how that ball didn't hit Jason Hayward.
Yeah, that ball was thrown low right on the base, right on the home plate from Orlando Arcia. Grandal obviously snags it right there and didn't really have to move much to tag out Jason Hayward, and that would be kind of important as the game, again, did go 15 innings yesterday, but we'd head to the bottom of the fifth. The top of the fifth, where Aaron Perez would get a meatball right down the middle from left-handed pitching Cole Hamels and send it out to left center field.
The range he has, and he gets into one here, back into deep left center field. It's gone! Aaron Perez puts the Brewers on the board in the fifth.
Yeah, 1-0 at that point. The Cubs would answer in the bottom of the fifth on a double from Albert Almora. Kind of floated one out to right center. David Bote on an incredible slide got around Yasmani Grandal and was able to touch kind of the bottom part of home plate and score that tying run in the bottom of the fifth. We'd go back and forth all the way. Cubs with several chances to score late in the game. I would not do so until the bottom of the 15th. The Brewers had a chance, I believe, in the top of the 11th when Lorenzo Cain was up with Eric Thames on third, but he would line out hard to left field, so no run there. But the Cubs would ultimately get the walk-off home run there and get the win in the bottom of the 15th off Wilson Contreras, a 424-foot shot yesterday afternoon. The final score, 2-1. The Brewers fall. They had their seven-game winning streak snapped yesterday. The loss charged to Birch Smith. He went 3 1/3, two hits, just the one run. The one mistake there, he did walk three, struck out four, though, so a pretty solid appearance out of the pen. His ERA, 1.59, but he did get demoted to the AAA San Antonio this afternoon, Jacob Barnes getting called back up from AAA, and Birch Smith sent down. He takes the loss. He's 0-1 again with a 1.59 ERA. The win went to Tyler Chatwood. He worked four scoreless out of the pen, struck out seven. He's 2-0 on the year. The Brewers with the loss fall to 24-17. The Cubs with the win go to 23-14. They've got a few games to make up here, obviously, without a roof on their stadium. They've had a couple of rainouts here in the early going, but the Brewers, again, have their seven-game winning streak snapped yesterday as they fall, and they try to get back on the winning track today on Sunday Night Baseball. Here's tonight's starting lineups.
You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on The Fan. Who's batting first? Here's today's look around the diamond with the starting lineup. Sponsored by Waukesha Sports Cards, your shopping headquarters for sports collectibles and authentic hand-signed memorabilia. Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com for a list of their upcoming autograph signings.
The rubber match of this three-game set down at Wrigley Field between the Brewers and the Cubs. Your lineups now. The Brewers come in with a record again of 24-17, managed by Craig Counsell. Leading off for the crew and out in center field tonight, Lorenzo Cain. He's hitting .245, four home runs, and 17 driven in. Batting second and out in right field as usual, Christian Yelich. He's at .341 after a tough day yesterday, still at .341. 16 home runs and 37 RBIs on the season. That is an incredible start to the 2019 season for Christian Yelich. Hitting third and at first base, Jesus Aguilar. He's up to .186. Batting cleanup and behind home plate tonight, Yasmani Grandal. Batting fifth and at third base, Mike Moustakas. Batting sixth and at second base tonight, Hernan Perez. Batting seventh and out in left field, Ben Gamel. Batting eighth and playing shortstop as usual, Orlando Arcia. Batting ninth and doing the pitching for the crew, it is Yolis Chacin. Again, no Travis Shaw again today. More on that coming up in the McCormick Law Office Roundtable here in the next segment on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show. But time for the Cubs lineup. Leading off and out in right field is Jason Hayward. Batting second and playing first base today, Chris Bryant. No Anthony Rizzo. He had his back tighten up on him. He is day-to-day for the Cubs. Batting third and at short, it's Javier Baez. Batting fourth and behind home plate is Wilson Contreras. Batting fifth and out in left field, Kyle Schwarber. Batting sixth and at third base tonight, it's David Bote. Batting seventh and at second, it's Daniel Descalso. Batting eighth and out in center field, Albert Almora. Batting ninth and doing the pitching for the Cubs tonight, it's John Lester. Those lineups again for you quickly one more time. For the Brewers, it's Cain, Yelich, Aguilar, Grandal, Moustakas, Perez, Gamel, Arcia, and Chacin. And for the Cubs, it's Hayward, Bryant, Baez, Contreras, Schwarber, Bote, Descalso, Almora, and John Lester. A little bit closer look at the pitching matchup now. Yolis Chacin comes in 3-3 with a 5.03 ERA. An 8 starts in 2019, the opening day starter, had a rough start to the season, but he appears to be stabilizing just a little bit. He's allowed just 2 earned runs over his last 2 starts, 6 scoreless against the Rockies back on April 30th. He went 5, allowing 2 runs against the Nationals back on Monday. He is 4-6 with a 2.86 ERA in 12 appearances, 11 of them starts in his career against the Cubs. And the left-handed pitching, John Lester, gets the start tonight for the Cubs. He's 2-1 with a 1.41 ERA in 6 starts in 2019. Lester having a monster year for the Cubs. He's walked only 7 batters so far in 6 starts, so pretty impressive stuff from Lester there. Last time out, he went 6 scoreless against the Marlins earlier in the week and hasn't allowed a run in his last 2 starts, which spans 13 innings of work. He's 4-3 with a 2.66 ERA in 8 starts against the crew in his career. Let's check in now with Craig Counsell.
This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. What's Craig Counsell have planned for today's game? Let's find out with today's scoop from the skipper on The Fan.
Brewers fall yesterday 2-1. In 15 innings, have their 7-game winning streak snapped. Manager Craig Counsell spoke after the game to reporters, and let's hear what he had to say.
Was it a little deja vu from last week?
Love 15 innings is a marathon for sure. So to play 2 in a week, not ideal. Came out on the short end this time, but it was. Good pitching was awesome. It was tough to hit frankly, the conditions were just miserable for the players out there in the field for both sides. I mean, everybody's soaked and freezing, so raining for 5 hours straight. You know, the guys, everybody played really good. Both teams played pretty good defense for those conditions, really good defense for those conditions. So, and Burch did a really nice job, just, you know, gave the homer in the end.
Do all the double plays, 10 of them, is that an indication of the good pitching on both sides today?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we hit, I think we hit into six of them. So, yeah, I mean, that's why there's three runs on the board at the end of the night.
Overall, you guys got really good pitching. I mean, starting with Zach, what did you see from him, and then just kind of moving on?
Yeah, I mean, just more of the same. Zach did his, you know, really good work again. Thought he was really in control of everything. You know, pitched really well. Just kind of a single kind of placed in the, or a double in the wrong spot, really. And then everybody just pitched well. And that's what I'd say. You know, JJ did a nice job, and Corbin Burns did a really nice job. So Matty Albers wiggled out of it, I thought he made really good pitches all inning, really. And then Burch, you know, just took the ball and kept going and did a nice job.
Going all the way back to the first inning there, that play by Arcia throwing home.
Yeah.
I mean, the throw had to be perfect, and it
yep.
really was.
I mean, it was almost like the throw tagged Hayward. Just a brilliant play, and you know, gave us a shot and kept it at neutral. You knew it was going to be hard to score again with the way the wind was blowing. You know, balls in the air weren't going to do anything. So, and just the conditions made it difficult to hit as well. So, keeping it there was a good start.
On that play where they scored against Zach, where Bodie made that great slide,
yeah,
is that just to tip your cap? Yasmani looked like he maybe had to go out to get the ball before it bounced.
Well, yeah, I mean, Hernan had to get rid of it. I thought he made a pretty good throw. Just he beat the throw.
He pinch hit, I know, later in the game, but everything okay with Braun's hamstring? Just a precautionary thing.
Yeah, he just his hamstring. He tweaked it yesterday running the bases late in the game. We just didn't want him running around today, so we scratched him, and you know, he was still able to hit. Just scratched him. Hopefully, get him back in there tomorrow.
Could going 15 affect what you guys do on Monday? Considering you still have.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Have you had that conversation yet about bringing help for tomorrow?
Well, we're gonna have to figure that out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when you guys won that game the other day, I think Braun was on it, said games like that, when you win them, it feels like winning two. When you lose them, it feels like losing 10. You know, you guys were on the right side of it last time, but
yeah,
hurt more than others.
Well, we're 1-1 in them, and, you know, we'd prefer to play 9 innings.
How's the turf? Is weather a factor in today's game? Let's get the Steins Garden and Home Field and Game Conditions. Steins Premium 4-Step Lawn Program is comparable to national brands for less. Formulated exclusively for Wisconsin lawns. 16 locations, family owned since 1946. Shop Steins.com.
Rubber match, Brewers and Cubs coming up tonight. Sunday Night Baseball. Yelise Chacin goes for the Crew against John Lester for the Cubs. Some troubling news here on the weather a little bit. 45% or greater chance of rain throughout pretty much the entire duration of the game, up to 60% around 9 o'clock. So we hope to get this one in. I guess you never know with the Cubs. I think it was about 2 years ago to the day almost where it was 70 degrees and sunny down there, and they decided to postpone a game. And looks like crappy weather all weekend has not deterred them so far this weekend. But we'll see. There are some showers lingering in the area. Hopefully this one goes on without any delays, because the Brewers are looking to start up a new winning streak after getting their 7-game winning streak snapped yesterday. We'll hit a quick break here. On the other side, it's the McCormick Law Office Roundtable. Rami Makhlouf of Score North, our old buddy on the Wendy's Big Show. Obviously a Cubs fan, a Cubs guy, but he does keep a keen eye on Milwaukee and baseball in general, so we want to get his thoughts. Also, Bart Winkler of the Chuck and Winkler Show, weekdays 6 to 10 here on The Fan. Those guys will join us next on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. Game 3, Brewers and Cubs coming up stuck with me for about another 45 minutes or so. First pitch of 44 minutes away down at Wrigley Field. Stick with us here on The Fan.
It's time to debate the big issues surrounding the crew. Get ready for the roundtable. Brought to you by McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yes, it is, and it's live from the Hyundai West Dallas On Deck Studios, getting you set for Game 3 of 3, the rubber match. Series tied up at a game apiece between the Brewers and the Cubs down at Wrigley Field. Yolise Chacin gets the start for the crew against John Lester, having a big year for the Cubs. He'll toe the slab coming up at about 6 o'clock here. A lot to get to yet here on the show. Mayor Mitch getting you set for Game 3 of 3 between the Brewers and the Cubs. Time now to hit the Great Midwest Bank hotline and welcome in our old friend Rami Makhlouf, who's kind enough to join us here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, despite being the host of Mackey and Judd with Rami on Score North up in Minnesota. Rami, how is Minneapolis treating you, my friend?
Things are well, Mayor Mitch. I officially speaking, have nothing to do with this series. I don't cover the Brewers anymore. I don't cover the Twins. I assume I'm here simply because I'm a Cubs fan. That's the only reason I'm here.
Well, yes, and we know that you keep an eye on the NL Central, so that's why you are here.
And to make radio magic with Bart Winkler, as we are apt to do when we get together.
Yes, Bart Winkler also joins us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. You can hear him 6 to 10 here weekday mornings with his pal Chuck Freeman as well on The Fan. Bart, what's up?
You have a penchant for booking guests who don't even know why they're on the program. Awesome.
Well, it's always good to hear Rami's voice, I think. And
I agree.
It's warming. Anyway, speaking of warming, it's pretty cold down in Chicago, Rami. And there's some showers in the area. I just looked at the radar. It doesn't look terrible. Looks like some light showers, but if they just put a roof on it.
You know, somebody should start a campaign about putting roofs on stadiums on Twitter.
Yeah, maybe on Twitter.
Hashtag, put a roof on it. Somebody should start that. I think it might pick up some steam.
Yeah, and has it?
Oh, it has. Yeah, it has. Because Paul Sullivan today wrote an article saying that they should put a retractable roof on Wrigley Field in the Chicago Tribune. So I'd say that it's got some legs.
Well, I mean, we could just bulldoze Wrigley Field. I don't think anybody would mind, and you could just...
I would mind. I don't want to bulldoze Wrigley Field. I think we just need to hashtag put a roof on it. That's all.
Well, how would you do that without bulldozing it?
I'm not an architect. I'm not an engineer, Mitch. Ask smarter people than me. I don't know.
Well, I'll ask... Okay, Bart, you're smarter than Rami, right? How can you put a roof on it if you don't bulldoze Wrigley Field?
How about this suggestion? You keep Wrigley Field as it is. And then, like, with Target Field and Fenway Park, you keep them as they are. But then you also build, like, a supplemental field that can seat about 5,000 people, and they play there in case of emergencies. Is that a good idea?
They're going to play the first month of their season there.
Well, then otherwise what the Cubs are going to do is play 40 games in the last 30 days and be at a competitive disadvantage. So... I mean, the retractable roof idea, that's never going to get off the ground. Let's start thinking of solutions that can actually happen, like a second stadium.
Don't point out how unrealistic my dreams are. That's not productive to this conversation.
Well, anyway, we can talk a little baseball now. We'll get you guys off of that. And Rami, I'll start with you. I know Bart talked a little bit
about it
today.
No, Mitch, I just want to say I like Wrigley Field.
Oh, so do I.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you're talking about bulldozing.
Well, I mean, I went there once. It was nice. I will say that Cubs fans are much different down there. They're a lot more cordial and a lot more friendly. And, oh, yeah, I go to Milwaukee all the time, all that stuff. And, you know, but when they come here, it's a little different story.
As a Cubs fan who was down there for 13 years, I can tell you this is not what Brewers fans want to hear right now, that Cubs fans are decent human beings and Wrigley is actually a nice place to be. This is not what they want to hear. Not today, guys.
Yeah.
Not today.
So, I know Bart talked about this today on 670 The Score. How'd that go today, by the way, Bart?
Braun is a hero who took steroids for the people?
Yes, yes. Say your piece, Bart. That was good stuff.
You'll have to listen to their podcast.
There you go. And I know that,
I'm not relitigating that.
I know that Matt Spiegel asked you that today, but I want to ask Rami where the Brewers are kind of in the overall NL Central hierarchy. I know it was kind of discussed that, I mean, they're not really the big brother at this point, but they are kind of starting to, I don't want to say dominate the Cubs this season, but I mean, it's been, and going back a little bit to last year, but they definitely have seemed to have, you know, butted into the picture for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the Brewers are a good baseball team, and anybody who doesn't believe, I mean, I was telling people that throughout last season, Mitch, and even when they had, was it a rough July or a rough August last year for the Brewers? I don't recall that. Everybody was panicking and saying this was 2014 all over again when the Brewers had a huge lead after July and then blew it. And I was telling people, look, you have a good baseball team. They'll be in it to the end, and they very well may win this division. The Cubs fan working in that market was telling you that not a lot of people were, or not a lot of people were believing it. And if you don't believe it after they pulled off what they pulled off last year to win the division, then I really don't know what to tell you at this point. The Brewers are a force to be reckoned with. They have been since last season. Nothing has changed. They will be a force to be reckoned with this whole season. And it's going to be a tight race. And last year it was a two-team race. I think it'll end up being a two-team race again this year between the Brewers and the Cubs. But I do think the Cardinals are better and will probably hang around a little longer than we saw them hang around last season.
Well, I think the Cardinals are definitely improved. And it seems like the only teams that they can't beat are the Brewers. They did sweep the Brewers, I know, most recently. But earlier in the year, the Brewers definitely had their number. Bart, I'll go to you. I know you pointed out today on 670 down there that the Brewers, hey, they're not the big brother, but they're getting close.
Well, I think the days of asking, you know, is this a rivalry, I think that we're a little bit past that. What it is that there's three teams in this division that are very good and are going to beat up on each other, and that's what makes these games very important. I mean, tonight's game is very important. Yesterday's game was very important, and I know it's May, and I know they played a bunch in April, but those count the same as they're going to count in September. I do think it's a three-team. I think I like the Cardinals more than Rami does. I went back and forth trying to figure out which of these teams I wanted to predict to win the division. I ultimately took the Brewers, of course, but if I didn't take them, I'd probably take the Cardinals. The Cubs have the weird stuff going on with the Madden rules, although they seem to figure all that out. And then the Cardinals, when the Brewers try to start three young pitchers in a season, it backfires. When the Cardinals do it, all of a sudden then they find a fourth young pitcher that's even better than the other three. They've got Paul Goldschmidt. Obviously, we saw what he did here at Miller Park. The Brewers have played them well, but they've played the rest of the league well. So I think there's going to be times throughout the season where it looks like one of those teams might be done, and then there's going to be times throughout the season where that team comes and races back like we already saw with the Cubs in April. So I think they're all neck and neck, these three teams, and it's going to be a crazy race down to the end.
Speaking of pitching, you brought up there, Bart. Ken Rosenthal reported Madison Bumgarner's obviously one of the, you know, he's an ace probably, presumably on the market, and his no-trade list came out as he has a no-trade clause in his contract, obviously. It came out yesterday. There were, what, eight teams on there, Bart, and one of them was the Brewers. And I guess if you dig a layer deeper, that is probably a good thing. Am I right?
Well, I mean, he wants to get traded to the Dodgers, I think, because if he gets traded at all, the Dodgers aren't on there. The Cubs aren't on there, and the Cardinals aren't on there. So those three teams are all on there. So that's good. I think I'd care more about this if it was like 4 years ago. I mean, the Brewers have been in the rumors for Madison Bumgarner for a long time, and while he's still a very good pitcher, I don't know if he gives you as much oomph as what it might be to trade for him, especially now that he's on a no-trade list, which means if the Brewers are going to poach him away, they're going to have to up their haul a little bit. So I don't really have him on a list of options realistically for 2019 before, and I certainly don't after this list now.
So do you think that the Giants brass maybe went through and were like, hey, look, these are the eight teams that probably want to trade for you. Can you give us those eight teams on your trade list so we can leak it and then get their offers?
From what it sounds like, he doesn't want to even be traded. So if he's got the power to adjust his no-trade list, and, you know, some of these guys, when they play in California, this isn't the first case of a guy who has played in California and says, I don't want to be traded. Oh, but if I am, I guess I'll go somewhere else in California. That's what it seems like to me. And, again, this is, like, more newsworthy to me 3 years ago when he was a better pitcher.
Yeah, I am a little bit sick of hearing about Madison Bumgarner myself. Rami,
now, if the Brewers want to go trade for Sonny Gray, I'm all about that.
What's the difference?
I've talked on the air for 2 years how I wanted Sonny Gray, and I'd like to pay off to that storyline.
Well, good luck with that. Rami, are the Cubs going to be in the market for an ace, I guess, of sorts, and like Madison Bumgarner? Because they are included on the list as well. It's the Braves, Red Sox, Cubs, Astros, Brewers, Yankees, Phillies, and Cardinals are the eight teams on Madison Bumgarner's no-trade list. I mean, the Cubs, do they even have the assets to get a move like that done at this point?
I don't think they're going to be in the market for starting pitching. Their starting pitching hasn't been a problem at all for them this season.
Especially John Lester.
Yeah, if anything, it'll be the bullpen that I think they'll look to add to it. But I don't see the Cubs making a big move this season between now and the trade deadline, because there were big moves to be made in the offseason, and they simply said that they have pretty much reached their cap in terms of spending. And I know a lot of people would look at a team like the Cubs in a market like Chicago, and they're about to have their own TV network, and say, how can they have a cap on spending? But if you look around baseball, the Dodgers have put a cap on spending. The Yankees have put a cap on spending. There's a reason that Bryce Harper and Manny Machado were on the market until spring training started. And that's just the way baseball is going right now. So I don't expect a huge addition for the Cubs. And I don't even think that they need one for their starting rotation. If they can add an arm to that bullpen, I think that's really the only hole, the only weakness on this team right now.
There is Rami Makhlouf of Mackey and Judd with Rami up on Score North, up in the Twin Cities. Thanks for a couple of minutes, Rami. I'll let you go. And
my pleasure.
Hopefully the Brewers can take the series tonight.
I mean, that's what you're hoping.
That's all we get of Rami?
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
Triumphant return? Wasted on the pregame show?
Yep. Thank you, Bart.
Well, have me on Chuck and Winkler sometime. You never call. You guys never call. All right.
See, that's all I'm trying to do is reopen the lines of communication. Maybe you guys can get together for another Barnack segment or something.
You know, I actually suggested to Bart that we should do the roundtable. He should just prepare a Barnack segment for this today, but he didn't want to go through the work.
Oh no. Well, yeah, he's had a long day. Rami, thanks a lot. We'll talk soon.
See you guys.
All right, there he
Bye,
is.
Rami
Makhlouf. Follow him on Twitter at Rami is tweeting. Of course, he was the brains behind the hashtag put a roof on it campaign that he was talking about there earlier on in the segment. Bart, I'm going to keep you around for just a couple of more minutes talking about Brewers pitching here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. Gio Gonzalez has come along and kind of provided a stabilizing influence. Now, I know he kind of deflected that and said it was Brandon Woodruff, but I mean, how much of an impact? I mean, has it been him alone, Gio Gonzalez, that has been kind of this, all of a sudden the Brewers last 10 days or so have just been really impressive on the pitching end?
Well, you've had a couple of things. I mean, one, the way the starting pitching was going could not have lasted that way forever. They had to start pitching up to their capability at some point. You had the maneuvering with the Corbin Burns back down, now up as a reliever, which I still want him to be a starter, and so do the Brewers. But you can't ignore how well he has been performing as a reliever. And then the guy we can't forget about is Zach Davies, who's been their best pitcher all season long.
Yep.
The Gio thing is wild because I don't think the Brewers, you know, they had like a plan B and plan C if the three young guys didn't work out. But I don't think they even thought Gio Gonzalez for a plan B or plan E. It's not like he was sitting out there like Keuchel and Kimbrel are. He was with another club and had a very good chance to pitch at the big leagues with the Yankees. But that didn't work out there. He was then able to pick the Brewers over the Mets and a couple other teams, and now he's been doing very well here. Sometimes it works out that way. I certainly don't think the Brewers planned on it, but it is. It would be hard to imagine this rotation right now without Gio Gonzalez. Chacin's gotten better. Woodruff, for sure, the last couple of starts, good. Freddy Peralta has been good, just terrible in the first inning. Remember, he still had the best start of the season, so it'll be interesting to see if they keep doing that opener strategy with him.
Yeah.
But again, when you talk about pitching, I think any answer you have to give up to this point has to include Zach Davies.
True, and I think with, you know, Zach Davies obviously has been impressive, but I think with Gio Gonzalez coming in, it's allowed Corbin Burns to go back to the bullpen where he thrived last year, and he appears to be, you know, back to his old self a little bit coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, when Burns came up at first, I remember last year his first outing was very good. And I thought, oh my goodness, this could be like the right-handed version of like a Josh Hader, where you at least bring him in those situations to get those key outs. And he was so good, but he's got starter stuff. You have the multitude of pitches. You would hate to see that kind of used just, you know, sparingly in relief. But the results so far are what they are. He's better as a reliever, and maybe that is something that the Brewers consider. I know they still want him as a starter, and I would still advocate for that too. But if you've got plenty of guys that can go, and if Jimmy Nelson is able to come back, he had a good outing this weekend, then maybe, you know, you don't mess with a good thing right now.
Speaking of messing with a good thing, Travis Shaw, he's been kind of the one guy that hasn't been able to get it going this year. And I talked a little bit about it with Tim and Billy last Sunday. I think he was 0 for 7 coming off the marathon last Saturday. Didn't play at all Friday. Came in late yesterday. Not in the starting lineup again today. He's not been able to get it going this year. And, you know, it appears to be he's kind of lost his everyday role, I guess, as of now. It doesn't seem that there's any reason to put him in there.
Well, yeah, the plan was to keep him out this weekend. Obviously got in yesterday with how long that game was. According to Adam McKelvey, who's down there, our guy, he was taking some solo BP today with the hitting coach. So Travis Shaw, he'll tell you he doesn't know what's going on. He can't figure it out. It's one of those things where you just kind of hope the guy figures out what's deep inside him, that he is a good major league hitter. But at some point, I mean, you are going to have to produce. Otherwise, a change of some sort is going to have to happen. And it seems sort of amazing to think that Travis Shaw could have to be have a change in his role. But, I mean, you can't not produce for this long of a time without any sign of it turning around. Jesus at least had that good – well, so did Shaw. Shaw had a couple nights where he had three home runs, I think, in two nights. But he hasn't been able to get that back since then. If you get this lineup with him producing and Aguilar both, even if they're 50% better than where they are now, that's just going to mean so much more wins for the Brewers. So they've still got a little time for him to figure it out, but not a ton of it.
Yeah, he's definitely got it. Because then you go, you know, basically 1 through 7 for sure. It's pretty much murderer's row like you had hoped to start the season. But again, Shaw just not getting much done lately, and maybe this time off will – allow him to kind of gather his thoughts and finally get it going here a little bit in the 2019 season. Bart, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for a couple of minutes this afternoon, and we will talk soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, Mayor Mitch. Have a good one.
All righty, you too. There he is, Bart Winkler of the Chuck and Winkler Show, weekdays Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 here on The Fan. He's on Twitter at Winks. Thanks. I'm on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE. We're going to hit a quick break here on the other side. We will go inside the clubhouse and hear from our WSSP Milwaukee baseball insider, Adam McKelvey, who caught up with the boys after the game on Friday. A nice victory back on Friday. Their 7th straight winning streak snapped yesterday. They look to start a new one tonight, Sunday Night Baseball. First time in some 6 years the Brewers are on Sunday Night Baseball. We will continue with more here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. More next on The Fan.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes info as we take you inside the clubhouse. Brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch and dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coach's on Lake Dunoon. This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yes, it is, live from the Hyundai West Dallas On Deck Studios. Mitch Ross here getting you set for the rubber match between the Brewers and the Cubs. Yolis Chacin, 3-3 with a 5.03 ERA, toes the slab for the crew against John Lester, who will toe the slab here in a few minutes, coming up about 20 minutes from now for the Cubs. He's having a pretty monster season for the Cubs, too, so the Brewers have their work cut out for them offensively tonight. Time now to go inside the clubhouse here in the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show. Adam McKelvey joined Tim and Billy, Tim Allen, the franchise, Bill Baby Tal Schmid, the co-hosts of the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show that you can hear after each and every Brewer game right here on 105.7 FM. The Fan, Adam McKelvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider, joined those guys on Friday. And the Brewers had won that game 7-0. The pitching was obviously spectacular again. And Gio Gonzalez, the guy who has come on from basically the waiver wire, from the trash heap, if you will, and he's kind of stabilized things. But Gio Gonzalez kind of deflected the credit, if you will, and has given it to Brandon Woodruff. Adam McKelvey had some thoughts on that.
Well, we were joking on the way back up after talking to him that I don't know what it's going to take for Gio Gonzalez to say that he did something good, because he talks about the defense, he talks about Woodruff, he talks about Gonzalez calling a good game. And I think at some point, if he makes enough starts, he's going to say that he's doing a good job, too.
He definitely
is. He might have to wait it out a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, but look, Woodruff was one of those young guys that was struggling, and Burns got sent down. Freddy Peralta got hurt, and now they're doing the kind of weird opener thing. Woodruff has gotten it straightened out on his own, and, you know, it's good that he gets some credit for that, because he's a guy that they're really high on after what he did in the playoffs last year and the way he looked in spring training. There were some numbers on their internal readings that they had not seen from him before. He was throwing really hard with really good stuff. And it was, I think, a surprise to everybody that he got off to a poor start. So getting him going was, you know, a big deal to turn this thing around. And it's pitching, man. I mean, that's why they're winning. It's all pitching. In this winning streak, their ERA is 109 as a team. Opponents are hitting 190. They are winning by holding down other clubs. And in this Cubs team, yeah, it was a tough day to hit today, and the Brewers won by paper cuts because that's how you had to win today. But they held down a Cubs team that was playing extremely well and is going to still be really tough over these next two games.
Adam, we talked last week, man, and I was trying to calm everybody down. Everybody on the big show is freaking out, especially after those back-to-back 11-run games where you give it up to the Rockies last week. And what a difference a week makes, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and look, what turned it around? It's hard to point to one thing. It's kind of been a number of guys getting it done. I think Woodruff is big. Gio Gonzalez now in three starts, ERA 1.69. He's been exactly as good as ever, you know, as good as they'd hoped, probably better than they'd hoped. Junior Guerra has done a really nice job in the bullpen when they've needed another right-hander. Jeremy Jeffers throwing the ball better each time out. You know, there's good things happening for this team, and it is kind of a credit to patience, which is hard in this game. It's hard when they go to a 163 last year, go to, the last two games of the season, the year before they're eliminated, where every game feels like it's so vitally important. But at the same time, you're rewarded if a guy's good and you have an evaluation of him that tells you that if you're patient, you're going to get something for it. And when you show that patience, you know, you get paid off. And that seems to be what's happening in a number of spots now. Now, look, they're still not fully clicking. I mean, Jesus Aguilar is getting going a little bit, but Travis Shaw, we talked to today, he is, like, beyond frustrated with the way he's playing. Getting him going would help even more and try to get that offense clicking kind of on all cylinders again. So there's still guys searching for it, but it feels like fewer and fewer as time goes by.
Adam, let's go back to the bullpen here real quick. Is it possible, and we were talking about this last hour, about shortening that game, making the other guys know that Hader is looming. Is it possible that one of two things happens? Either Junior Guerra jumps Hader into the closing role, possibly Jeremy Jeffress. We'll see about that as his progression is coming along fine. Or they acquire someone, because I still think it's such an impact on the other manager to react fifth and sixth inning to know that Hader could be unleashed at any time.
Yeah, and the key to that is like having arrested Josh Hader and not burning him out early. So that the key to that is having enough guys alongside him that you can trust. And Junior Guerra has been one of those guys. I think before I see Junior Guerra jumping to the quote-unquote closer role, I think it's probably Jeremy Jeffress. And they've been careful to ease him back into this because part of it was performance-based. He was still working towards that really good Jeremy Jeffress of last season. I think they feel like he's getting there. He's closer and closer. The velocities are certainly in line now with what they were at this time last year, and then Jeremy Jeffress got better as last season went on. So I still think that's the most likely. And then you can use Junior Guerra for outings like today where he kind of straddles innings. He comes in a spot where you need to get out of a jam like Jeremy Jeffress did early last year, like kind of when he was the sixth inning closer, as Craig Council called him.
Yeah.
So that to me is a little more like, and look, I mean, it is getting closer to the time where you start talking about adding something. And I think bullpen is an area where you could, I mean, David Stearns has done it before, you know, last year bringing in Soria, and that really added a big depth piece and lengthened that pen. And it did make it to, you know, if you got five innings from your starting pitcher last year down the stretch, the Brewers were in really good shape. And it's all about getting a lead so you can line up the right way. So I think that it's getting there. I mean, tomorrow in the fourth inning, they're going to be a quarter of the way through the season, which is like, I seriously did the math on that five times today because it doesn't seem possible because I feel like I just shoveled.
Right.
But it's true. Tomorrow's game, they're going to pass the quarter mark. So, you know, you're starting to get a better – at this point, you have a better feel for what kind of club you are. And I think that's also part of what we're seeing where things are stabilizing a little bit is it's just that long baseball season, you know, talent rises to the top. And when you're a major league player, you eventually perform. I do sort of feel like that's what we're seeing a little bit is we're far enough into the season where some of that talent is showing up.
It's just amazing, man. I am having such a blast, guys. Billy, Adam, not in the names on the back of the jersey in terms of the pitching staff, but it's how Craig Counsell is handling them, how he uses them, how he knows them, how he knows their strengths, and certainly there's some weaknesses. I mean, it's just, I'm getting such a kick out of that because I'll tell you, around the nation, in the baseball world, I know people can look at numbers. I get that part of it, but they've kind of smirk a little bit at this Brewers pitching staff, and they have been for a year or two.
There he is, Adam McKelvey on the Baby Shade and Blind post-game show. You can hear after each and every Brewer game here on The Fan. Tim Allen, Bill Baby Tal Schmid there with him. That was after Friday's victory. A lot of discussion on the Brewers pitching staff. Look, they look to keep it rolling again tonight. They've been impressive over the last 10 or so games since those couple of blow-ups against the Rockies to start the month of May. They've been pretty impressive since then. We're going to hit a quick break here. We'll wrap it up next on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. Mayor Mitch in here getting you set for the rubber match between the Brewers and Cubs. First Sunday night baseball game for the Brewers since September 22nd of 2013. We might take a look at that box score going back to 2013. That was a pretty ugly year for the Brewers. We'll get into that next on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show here on The Fan. Just a couple of minutes left here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. Mayor Mitch here getting you set for the rubber match between the Brewers and the Cubs. Yolis Chacin goes for the crew against John Lester for the Cubs. Brewers have not been on Sunday Night Baseball since September 22nd of 2013. The Brewers got a victory that night at Miller Park. 27,389 were in attendance for that Sunday night game. The Brewers had got the win. They go to 69-86 that year. Willy Peralta got the win, 11-15 with the win. Jim Henderson got the save, 26th of the year for that dude, the Canadian fireballer, Jim Henderson. Pretty cool there. Nori Aoki was still on the Brewers. Two for two, he did reach base all four times that night as well. Scooter Jeanette in the lineup, Jonathan Lucroy, Uni B played some first base that night. Aramis Ramirez, Carlos Gomez, Logan Schaefer, Jeff Bianchi, Martin Maldonado and Willy Peralta started the game for the crew that night. Again, 69-86 with the victory were the Brewers. Back on September 22nd, 2013, almost 6 years ago, the Brewers, the last time they were on Sunday Night Baseball, they're getting warmed up right now. They're about to take the field down in Wrigley Field. Some showers in the area, but hopefully they will hold off. Obviously, you never know again with the Cubs. It looks like they will play baseball today. They like to cancel things sometimes when it's nice out and play in the rain, so we'll see what happens. Brewers go for the victory in the series here and try to start a new winning streak after getting it snapped yesterday. The Brewers fall yesterday 2-1 in 15 innings. They'll, again, look to start a new one. Yolis Chacin against John Lester for the Cubs here tonight. My thanks to Rami Makhlouf of Score North and our old buddy on the Wendy's Big Show for checking in with us, talking some Cubs and Brewers. Also, Bart Winkler of the Chuck and Winkler Show. Weekday mornings here on The Fan. Also, Nick Bode, other side of the glass. And you guys for listening. Brewers go for the victory again tonight. Yolis Chacin against John Lester. Catch the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. After the last pitch, you make the switch to Tim Allen and Bill Baby Tal Schmid right here on The Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.